Hey, and welcome to Hypnotica with Chantel and Melissa. We are so excited to be back. We took a few weeks off because either one of us was sick or we had something up, but we are here today and we are talking about hypnotic concepts for life and the bedroom. So, you want to introduce the concept a little bit?
Yes, we were noticing that some of the similarities with hypnosis and then just like eroticism, sexuality, and even just like eroticizing your life, not necessarily staying strictly to the bedroom. And one of the similarities we found was just really slowing everything down and being as present as you can. So with hypnosis, when you're super present, especially when you're being guided by a facilitator, there's a safety in letting your feelings and your experiences come up. The same can be true inside your relationship, inside sexuality, whether you're partnered or not. And sometimes that can feel really scary, but we're here. We're here to guide you through the experience. And Chantel is going to get us started with some concepts.
Alrighty, so the first concept I would like to share is rapport. So for those of you who don't know what rapport is, it's basically when you know, like, and trust someone. And so that is very helpful in the bedroom if you know, like, and trust your partner. And it's also an essential piece for hypnotherapy. Because if there's no rapport with the client and the therapist, then the healing can't really happen because there's too much stuff coming up of resistance. And it's not necessarily any one of theirs' fault. Like, it's not the therapist's fault. It's not necessarily the client's fault. Sometimes it's just not a good fit. So, rapport, very important. What is there all else to say about rapport? What do you have to say about rapport?
If I don't, this is just my idea. I just want to say this from my personal experience. If I don't feel safe with someone, I can't develop a rapport. So for me, it's an automatic, an instinctual thing. It's what I'm feeling from them that will let me know how far I can go in terms of a rapport or trust or relationship. It might just be surface level, and it might be deeper depending on that. But if I'm looking for a facilitator or if I'm looking for someone to help guide me, I have to feel that sense of ease and feeling held and seen. I'm also hearing like if I get the sense that someone's trying to rush me, I'm immediately turned off. I don't feel safe.
Right? Oh, I know.
yeah. I need someone to hold, I want to say hold a generous space. And not everyone can do that. And that de like you said, it doesn't mean that they aren't great at what they do. They're just not the right person for me. So it's looking at how well can you hold space? How well can you listen? What's the quality of style of listening? Are you trying to rush me? Because if you are, I'm gonna leave. I'm not gonna hang out for that. And how, like, checking in with how does my body feel around someone? If, am I holding so much tension? And is that tension a warning or is that tension mine, because I'm feeling like, oh, we're about to touch something that feels really deep to me. And like, also, yeah, can I hold myself during an interaction with someone? So it's like, yeah, knowing your values, knowing your body, knowing your reactions to things, your triggers to things, because we also don't want to project our triggers onto people. It's being really clear about those things to the best of our
Yeah, like
ability.
I remember Brené Brown talking about boundaries, and she kept saying, like, if you have compassion but not boundaries, then it's not compassion. If you have this but not boundaries, it's not that. Like, all of the good things there are in life, without boundaries, they're pretty much nothing. So, going into a relationship, really good idea to establish those boundaries and make sure that there's a win-win-win, you know, like across the board, like that everyone's going to be having a good time. And talking about that ahead of time, probably not the worst idea. You know, like what are your intentions going into this, whether it's in the bedroom or in a therapy session? You know, it's just really good to communicate that. You know, like where should we not go, right? Like that's good to know. So yeah.
Yes,
So much
absolutely.
can be said. I almost feel like we could, on each of these points, we could make a whole episode, and maybe we will go deeper in the future. But for now, the next concept that I came up with is hypnotherapy, or hypnosis in general, is all about accessing the subconscious mind, which is why I love it. Because talk therapy accesses the conscious mind, but like with hypnotherapy, especially the style that I do, it connects your conscious to your subconscious so that you can really get to the root of what's going on. And I was listening to an audiobook the other day by scientist Candace Hirt, and it's called The Body is the Subconscious Mind. And I was like, oh yeah.
Yes. Oh, I
Talk
love
about
that.
like an analogy or like a correlation, right? So like, if the body is the subconscious mind, and with hypnotherapy, like imagination is how you access the subconscious mind. And like, I've been doing all sorts of experimenting on my own about like pleasure and imagination. And there's a lot there. Like, it's like an untapped resource that I will be tapping in the future. Do you have any thoughts about the subconscious?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it's like it's where everything lives that runs our systems, usually runs our actions and reactions. And listening to it, taking care of it, and healing the wounded parts of it ultimately make us happier, healthier people. But that's not the easiest work to do. It's so valuable, but not the easiest. And it's something that I feel a lot of people want to avoid. They want to stay on the surface of like, well, I'm having communication problems with my partner, and it's just the communication. When really it's like what I see with people, it's there's two people that are acting out of their subconscious that is creating the communication issue. So it fixing the surface level is just like putting a band-aid on it if you're not backing it with working on healing your subconscious. And really being fully, I feel like when we do heal the subconscious, we can fully be in our energy and really back our actions with the fullness of who we are. Because the subconscious gets a little scared and wants to stay safe and like keep us small, keep us down. And it's just doing its job, right? It's just trying to keep us safe. But there's just more out there that we can experience when we feel safe enough to do so.
Yes, exactly. And like erotica, how you help people write erotica, like that is a huge piece of accessing the subconscious too, I feel, because like you can access the subconscious through stories and, you know, like, I don't know.
It's true. That's how I started seeing how much of my own sexual shame was still there. I had done a lot of work to get through that and get around that, but when I started writing and noticing similar themes coming up or my body feeling a certain way while I was writing, I'm like, oh, there's more. And so it gave me the opportunity to choose, because we always have a choice. Like, do we want to address that or not? We're always making a
Yes, that's for sure.
choice.
So the next concept that came to me these couple of weeks, and I've been really thinking about it, is intention. So before we can go into any hypnotherapy session, we have to find out what the client's intention is and make sure we're on the same page. And obviously in life, that also goes, right? Like, I feel like simple pleasures in life lead to like peak experiences. So like everybody is like chasing happiness, right? They're like, oh, I just want to be happy. And if I'm not happy, something's wrong. Not true. Anyways, you gotta just enjoy those simple pleasures, those little things. And obviously it's the same for the bedroom. You know, like people are going in, you know, people, women most of the time with like, oh, I really want this peak experience that my partner seems to always have. And then they're like, how do we get there? Well, I've found that the way to get there is through enjoying the simple pleasures. Like you have to build, right? Like you have to start with like noticing, like slowing way down and noticing what feels good and just building from there instead of just like, well, why can't I go from 0 to 60? You know, we're not designed to do that. That's not the way. So like setting an intention of pleasure, I found has helped me a lot to, you know, leave the experience feeling like good about it instead of like bad about my body. Like, oh, am I broken because like it didn't happen for me this time? You know? So
Totally.
I feel like if I have experienced pleasure, A-okay, right?
Yes.
So what do you have to say about like intention and simple pleasures and peak experiences?
Intention, let's see. Okay, yeah, besides the fact that intention is important, because intention can also be your guide and you can change. Usually, when it comes to my experience of sex, it's my intention is I want to feel relaxed. I want to feel open and not rush. That's like a whole nother thing of like not rushing to get to like the finale, but just being like, okay, how much pleasure can I allow right now? And what keeps me from that? Even with writing as well, sometimes the intention has to be that I sit down for X amount of time and I create the space to write. Whether or not words happen is irrelevant, but it's setting the intention to like, I will create the space for this. And, or if something's coming to me, it's like, okay, I intend to at least outline this. I intend to create a full story from this, depending on how much time and space I have. And then if I'm working with a coach, with a practitioner, I am the type of person, I usually have an agenda. Like, if I'm going to book a session with you, I'm coming to you with a very specific thing. So that's usually like the intention of like, I need to explore this. Can you help me with that?
Yeah, same. That's exactly what I do. Because, like, so often our minds are, you distract us and that kind of a thing. But when you have someone there to kind of hold that space for you and, like, almost, you know, ask the right question that really makes you be like, oh, or like just another perspective to see, like, another choice that could possibly be there. It's just so nice. And
Absolutely.
we were touching on this before we started recording. But we're talking about the capacity to feel. And like the more we can actually go into the hard stuff that we're afraid to feel, the more we are going to have the capacity to feel the good things in life too. Like I feel depression comes a lot of the time from not allowing yourself to feel the bad stuff. And then you can't feel the good stuff. And little by little, that window of tolerance just kind of closes. And then you just don't feel anything. Like a lot of people think depression is sadness, but that's not the case. Like they get it mixed up with grief. Depression is just not feeling anything, like feeling great. So when I do a hypnotherapy session with someone, we involve color a lot. Like we paint a whole scene, you know, like yeah.
Yes. Ah, oh, I love that. Love it.
Okay, I made a list here of my
I love
points. The next one is focused attention. So that is what hypnosis is, like all the different types of hypnosis. But my specialty, whatever, is hypnotherapy. So focused attention, right? So what you were talking about before, about slowing way down, setting a time and space apart, you know, to get into a flow state, to be present, whether it's in life, whether it's in the bedroom, very important. Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, things cannot be created or co-created without that slowing way down, being present. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the same thing is still true with writing. It's if we're not slowing down to listen, we can kind of miss certain points that we need to know about or learn about ourselves or about the character, or about the story. And sometimes the story can feel, I feel like this is also true for relationships too. Like things
right?
can
There's
feel
so
very
much
disjointed.
Correlation.
I know, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is not only true for writing, but it's true in relationships. Like it gets disjointed because you're flying past some key points or some key areas. I'm like listening for, I'm still hearing the word intention because it's that I feel like it's one of the most important things.
Yeah, because how can you focus your attention on something if you don't have an intention? You know,
yeah.
Like everything starts with that thought, with that desire, with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yay. The next concept is pacing and leading. So that's something in hypnosis that you learn. But it's basically just, I guess, kind of controlling the conversation, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just picture that you're in a coffee shop with a group of people. There's usually someone taking the lead, telling a story.
Mm-hmm.
Other people are imagining the story that that person is telling, you know, or someone is asking a question. You know, oftentimes it's not necessarily the person telling the story who's actually leading the conversation. It's the person asking the questions, you
yes.
know, and like there's a back and forth a lot of the time with who is leading and who is not. Or if you're talking in the bedroom, who is the top and who is the bottom, you know, like the roles can reverse. But there's always someone who is kind of like taking the lead and being like, okay, so we're going to go into so let's say with hypnotherapy. So we're going to go into this cave that you're afraid to enter by yourself, but I'm going to hold your hand and we're going to go in there together. And, you know, the person leading is like asking the questions, like, you know, what do you see? Like what's standing out to you? And then, you know, the client describes what they see, and then they're kind of leading because they're telling the story. And then the hypnotherapist is like, imagining that and then going with that. So it's really a co-creation, and it's beautiful. It's my favorite thing.
Yes,
I can't say
yes.
enough about it. And I'm not sorry.
It's so good and so important.
Yeah. So what do you have to say about like leading and that sort of thing, that concept with life and the bedroom?
Mm-hmm. It can. I keep seeing things like flowing in a way that goes sort of back and forth, almost like an infinity loop, because sometimes we're the one that leads, sometimes it's our partner that's leading, or we're initiating or they're initiating. Sometimes we want something very specific, so we come to them with that, or vice versa. I'm thinking about writing too, and it's there's a certain level of tension that needs to be created in a story to get someone excited or aroused. And so that's pacing. You've got to watch your pace. You don't want to go straight to body parts in body parts. I mean, unless you do. Like, I don't know, but like
usually not the case for both parties at the same time. Very rare.
Right? It's just like, okay. So we're pacing things. I also had a writing coach tell me once that you want to write sex that moves the story forward. And I feel like that can be true in life as well. And again, we're still leading with our intention and slowing down and paying attention and deciding instead of being on autopilot, going back to the subconscious, which subconscious loves some autopilot situations, but really paying attention. Like, this is your life. You don't want to just rush through it. So yeah, like looking at how do you pace yourself in life? How do you pace yourself sexually? How do you pace your creativity? What are the stories that you have around those things and seeing the similarities and the differences?
Exactly. Yeah. So with pacing, it really starts with like slowing way down. So like taking deep breaths and tuning into the senses, like, feeling the air on your skin, like feeling your breath as it moves in and out of your body. Like, what can you hear? Like that just really, really helps slow everything down. And oh, what were you talking about? There was something else that was just really cool. It'll come back to me later. What were you just saying though? Like I had something that was like, oh, wanted to pin it in there.
The intentions, moving the story forward.
Yeah, I think it had to do with that like infinity loop or
Infinity
something.
loop, yes, because it's like
Yeah.
sometimes you're pacing, sometimes you're setting the pace, sometimes the partner is.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It's gonna come to me later, and either on this episode or the next. Okay. And the last concept that I came up with was improv. Love improv. Like, that's life, right? Like, you flow with life so much better when you just go with it instead of resisting. Like, co-creating with life, dancing with life. I had this, like, just bright idea this week because I got back into playing instruments, and it's like, nobody was born knowing how to play an instrument like perfectly or at all, right? And so like I'm just thinking like, people watch porn or whatever, some people, and they're like, okay, I know how to do it now. Well, that's like watching someone play an instrument and be like, okay, now I'm good at sex. Like, no. You may have to dig a little deeper there and learn a few things about, your partner and what they want and that sort of thing. And then you're more able to co-create. Does that make sense?
Yes, totally, totally. You can pick up some things from watching things, but until you do it yourself, you can't feel what's next. You can't feel what's good for them or for you. Like, there's communication obviously is important. It's totally different having your own experience of it. I find that, yeah, even like watching people play instruments, you could have seven people playing the saxophone and they're all going to do it differently. Even if they're all playing the same song, it's like it's them bringing their energy to that song, to that instrument. And so the same thing is true for spicy time and writing and creativity. It's like it's yours.
And I just remembered what I was gonna say. I think I've mentioned it on previous episodes too, but that tension can be the birthplace of creativity. And like literally, that's why we are here. Like we were conceived because and that started with tension being the birthplace of creativity. So if you take this concept to life, like tension's not the worst thing. We don't have to run away from it. We can be curious about it. We can allow that conversation to happen, that difficult conversation, and see what can be resolved, what can be created, Like, don't need to run from those things. Yeah. So, yeah, I was going to relate the improv thing to hypnotherapy too. That's like literally the best way to do hypnotherapy. There's no hypnotherapist who's created equal, like everyone has their own style, but like my style is improv. I go with what the client comes up with what their subconscious comes up with. And it's usually a metaphor or a color or like something not typically talked about in talk therapy. and just going with it and seeing what needs to happen, you know, like it's usually some kind of tension metaphor, you know, like I see this thing over here and it's a little scary, right? And it's just like, then I ask, well, what needs to happen? What's the next step? You know, that sort of thing. And then they're like, oh, well, we need to bring in the rain or like whatever they come up with. And I just go with it. And it's what the client needs. So like I think the best therapists, the ones that I go to, are not the ones who are like, this is how you should do it. No, they go with what I'm coming up with what my subconscious is coming up with, and like bringing in the higher self and like having some wisdom come in there. But it's not like their wisdom for me, it's like my wisdom for me. So
Yes, I want to do the same thing for my clients too. It's like I'm listening, I'm hearing their words, but I'm listening to their energy, and that's what I want to pinpoint. But I want to guide them back into themselves. My way is not the only way, best way. No, my way works for me, but I want you to find your way.
Yeah, exactly. And I know the both of us in our sessions too, like we hear or see, like we have those clairvoyant things coming to us that would not come to us otherwise. They only come to us when we're tuned into that specific person. And so like that is important too. I'm not saying I don't give my 2 cents worth like that's flowing through me, but yeah. No, it's just a beautiful co-creation altogether. I love it. I love it all.
Yes.
Hypnotica. Woo!
Yay. So good.
Yep,
So
that's all
good.
the points for today.
Ah, I loved all of them. They're very important for life, for sexy time, for healing, like all the things. Yes. So please, y'all, please join us next week. We're going to talk about the art of giving and receiving. We're going to touch a little bit more on slowing down and boundaries because the holiday season is here. So we will see y'all next week.